Psalm 46 today, actually Psalm 106, but this is our 46th study in the book of Psalms. We come today to Psalm 106. We begin our study in verse 45. We'll go to chapter 107, verse 29. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Psalm 106 is a summary of the dealings of God with the nation Israel. Let's begin reading in verse 40. Therefore the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. God has a multitude of mercies, and it is a good thing because we all have a multitude of sin. Israel repented, and God was merciful. He was merciful because he remembered his promise to be merciful whenever they would repent. And they didn't deserve it, but he did it because he is faithful to himself. And it's just like with us today, us Christians. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are not worthy of forgiveness. He doesn't do it because of our worthiness. He does it because he is faithful. Our unworthiness does not cancel out God's faithfulness. Our unfaithfulness and that we sin against him does not cancel God's faithfulness to forgive us when we confess. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself by not forgiving whenever we repent. 46, he also made them to be pitied by all those who carried him away or them away captive. And we see from this that when God wants to bless his people, he can even make their enemies be kind to them. God can make anyone our helper, even those who really don't want to do it. 47, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Sometimes God has to allow people to go their own sinful way, to chase after their own idols, as it were. And then after they learn the hard way that their own way doesn't work, all it does is bring misery, well, then they recognize that God's way is best and they finally appreciate him. 48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. The God who blesses us should be blessed by us with our thank yous. That's the least we can do for God. Now let's go into Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And God manifests his goodness towards us in many different ways. God is good, and one of the ways he is good is how he doesn't leave sinners in moral and spiritual darkness. which would make this messed up world much more troubled than it already is. God is good. He is gracious. He causes people to repent by giving them the grace to do it. The Bible says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way. One of the manifestations of God's goodness toward us is that He teaches sinners not to be sinners. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who God has saved say so. Talk about it. And the best place for those of us who God has redeemed from hell to begin talking about it, the best place to do that is right where we are. Like the demon-possessed man in the land of the Gadarenes, who Jesus saved, delivered him from a legion of demons. He wanted to go along with Jesus and the apostles. And Jesus told him to tell his friends and his relatives, his family, about all the good stuff that God did for him. Just stay here and be a witness right here. So the best place to talk about what God has done for us is right where we are. 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. And that was Israel wandering for 40 years because of their disobedience. Their wandering was their own fault. God never intended them to wander for 40 years. They would have been in the promised land in a couple of weeks. But they chose not to follow God. So they wandered. And sinners today wander too. Sinners today who turn from Jesus and turn from the Word of God wander in a spiritual and moral wasteland of their own making. And they suffer frustration as a result. 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Jesus said, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and everything you really need will be given to you. Well, Israel did not put God first. They put Him last. And consequently, they lacked stuff. Plus, they were discouraged. Verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. They didn't pray until their circumstances were desperate. Then they prayed. And someone says, well, that's just terrible. We ought to pray when times are good, not only when times are bad. Well, I think everybody would agree that's a good thing. But I wouldn't say it's terrible to cry out to God when times are desperate. I would say it is God's grace. God's grace that enables us to do that. God had mercy on the Israelites and enabled them to cry out for help when times got desperate. You know, some people don't. 7. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. You don't have to worry about making the wrong choice when Jesus is the Lord of your life. The Bible says that God led the Israelites in the right way. Don't have to worry about making wrong choices when Jesus is the Lord of your life. God's going to lead you. If you are obeying God's moral law, confessing when you fail, and if you want Him to lead you, don't worry, He's leading you. He's not going to leave you hanging out there to drive somewhere, going in the wrong direction. It may not always be the easy way. It may not always be what we thought it would be, but it will be the best way. It will be the right way. He leads. 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. People ought to thank God for His goodness. People ought to thank God for His wonderful works that He does for all of us. There's a lot of good reasons to thank God. It is an ungrateful person who will not immediately say thank you to God for His favors. And it's easy to recognize that we ought to thank God for His favors. But you know what? Being thankful at all times and for all things is something that we must all be reminded to do as well. Because that is a command from God. 9. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies the longing soul. God wants us to be full spiritually, because that will make us content, and that will make us full of joy. And God would like to fill us with His Word, because that's how He delivers spiritual fullness to us, through His Word. Jesus said, I have told you this. Told you what? God's Word. Jesus is God, so when He told somebody something, He was telling them God's Word. He said, I have told you this, I've given you the Word of God, so that My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Fill yourself with the Word of God. When you fill yourself with the Word of God, you'll be spiritually full. That'll make you content. That'll give you fullness of joy. It is the Word of God that makes it happen. 10. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. And that's talking about Israel. And they were in big trouble. Israel was paying for their rebellion against God. It's like the Bible says, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. And so it says, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Israel was given over to those who hated them, because they were not loyal to the God who loved them. They were given over to those who hated them because they were not loyal to God, their King, who cared so much about them. It is a dangerous thing to play fast and loose with the Word of God. God's Word must not be treated lightly. Those who rebel against it bring trouble on themselves, and that's what Israel did. Israel despised God's counsel. And when one does not follow God's counsel, it is because they have despised it. Maybe only momentarily, but that's why they don't follow it. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. They hit rock bottom. They were too proud to obey God. They were too proud to serve a loving God, so God gave them to their enemies, who made them work like farm animals. Because that's basically what a slave in other cultures, not talking about Israel, but other cultures, was treated, like a farm animal. In those days, slaves had no freedom, they had no rest, they had no rights. Just absolute misery. And a proud person is soon humbled in a situation like that. And the Israelites were. 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Finally, when they knew they could not help themselves, when they realized that their situation was hopeless, when they understood that, and when they knew that there was no hope, they cried out to God. And you can bet they meant business in a situation like that. Fervent, effective prayer seldom happens when everything is going well. Our best prayers come out of a feeling of helplessness, out of a feeling of need. That's when we cry out to God and mean business. And so they did, and the result, verse 14, He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. God broke their chains. When He decided to rescue them, He rescued them by force. By His strength, He rescued His repenting people from their trouble. When God breaks our chains, no one can chain us. When God blesses us, no one can unbless us. Nobody can reverse what God has done or what God intends to do. They just can't. 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. He just longs for God to be appreciated. That's how you know that someone loves God. When they long to have God appreciated. Good people want to thank God for his mercy. Good people feel bad when God is not appreciated. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. When God wants to bless us, he will break down even the strongest barriers to make that blessing happen. 17 Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Nothing is more foolish than wickedness. Nothing is more foolish than sin. Not only does it offend the Creator, which is really foolish, but it also hurts the sinner who's committing the sin. You know, nothing is more foolish than wickedness. It's so unnatural. And that's why it causes trouble. Pour yourself a cool glass of gasoline and drink it. You'll understand that gasoline is unnatural for us, and that's why it hurts us. Burn your stomach right out. And committing sin is like drinking gasoline. It's just not meant for us. And that's why it causes suffering. 17 and 18. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And the Bible is correct here as always. When a person is suffering terribly, or when a person definitely is drawing close to death, the body begins to shut down, they have no appetite at all. Verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. They were in such deep trouble that they didn't even have an appetite. They didn't even want to think about food. When sickness or worry takes away our appetite for food, that's our cue to have an appetite for prayer. Because if we're that down and out, we better start praying. And God doesn't despise the prayers of one who's in deep distress. He doesn't say, I told you so. He doesn't despise. He doesn't refuse to listen because we should have prayed when things were going well too. He doesn't do that. The important thing is to pray. Better to learn the lesson later than not at all. 20. I like this verse. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's how powerful God's word was. He sent his word. He didn't even have to do anything. He just sent his word and he healed them. Reminds me of the story of the centurion who had the dying servant. He came to Jesus and said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's how powerful God's word is. It's the most powerful thing on earth. When it is read, when it is meditated on, when it is spoken, when it is lived, and when it is prayed, it's the most powerful thing on earth. 21. Here he goes again. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He just says it again. I just wish people would give thanks to God for his goodness and his wonderful works that he does for people. I just wish that men, everybody, would thank him. Even more amazing than God's wonderful works toward undeserving men, even more amazing than God's goodness to undeserving sinners, is that so many people fail to thank God for all the good things that he does. Like the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. He heals 10 lepers of an incurable, horrible disease. 9 of them don't even come back to say thank you. 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. It's good to say thank you to God with words. It is also good to say thank you with gifts and with sacrificial works. Good to say thank you to God with words, good to say thank you to God with works. Sacrifice. Do something extra kind for somebody. Go out of your way to be holy in some way, and then offer that up to God as a thank offering for something that He has done for you. Just give a sacrificial gift or something, maybe, and just offer that to God as a thank offering for what He has done. 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. Now he's talking about sailors. He really shifts gears here. He's still talking about God's greatness, though, as we will see. He's talking about sailors. Sailors were the astronauts of that day. That's because the sea was about as unknown as outer space. They probably know more about outer space than what they knew about the sea. So those who sailed and returned were like heroes. They're like astronauts in the early 60s. 24. They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. So the sailors in those days, they see the huge waves in their ships out in the middle of the ocean, and they knew they couldn't control those waves, and therefore they realized just how small they were and how big God is, because He did control them and He created them. And so they recognized that God was the one who could control these things, and that meant that God was big. And not only, the sailors also recognized that God is the one who put the stars in the sky, and they needed those stars in the middle of the ocean because that's how they would navigate their ship. So they knew that God was huge. Look at these big waves that He created and that He is able to control. Look how He made the stars for us to navigate our ship. Look how big God is. So they learned things about God out in the middle of the ocean that people living comfortably on land didn't know or didn't appreciate anyway. Being out at sea in the middle of its vastness made them aware of God's greatness in a very special way. And so did trouble out there. 25, for He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts the waves of the sea. And I wonder how many millions of prayers have been prayed by sailors. Not many atheists out there. Sailors can control ships, you know, during good times. They know they can do that, but they also know that only God can control the waves. Verse 26. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. A sailor who sees a wave taller than his ship, they see that wave approaching, they would probably say that thing's as high as the heavens. And that's what it looked like. So this big old wave approaches, and it goes by them. And when it passes, and the sailor's on its backside, well, he's going to sink low in the valley that passing wave caused. So can you imagine seeing that big monster coming and being lifted up high, and then it passes, and then you're down, way down in the valley, and you see that thing on the other side of you? There's no way that any sailor is going to control a ship that's being tossed up and down in a wave like that. And so if you have even half a brain, you're going to be afraid, and you're going to pray to God, and you're going to appreciate Him. 27. Talking about these sailors, yet they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Well, when you can't stand and you can't walk, you're going to be at your wits' end. If you can't do even that little thing, you know you're in trouble. When you can't stand or walk because you're in the middle of a big sea with no land in sight, being tossed around by huge waves, you know you're helpless. Now you know the meaning of helplessness. Like I said earlier, I doubt that there are any atheists in a situation like that. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. It's amazing. It's amazing how people can be so distraught, so overwhelmed with their problems, that they cannot even think. You can't even think straight, let alone do anything. And yet God gives people in those situations the grace, the ability to pray. Even if it's just a screaming two-word prayer, three-word prayer, Jesus help me. He gives them the ability to do that. and most people do. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. So God commands storms on the sea. God commands the calm as well. And nothing displays the power of God any more than sudden, unexpected, and drastic changes in our lives. And not many things cause us to fall on our knees and pray to God more than sudden, unexpected, and drastic changes in our lives also. We'll stop right here. We'll pick it up in verse 30 of Psalm 107 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.